Good morning. Everybody alive and well today? It's a great day. It's a new year. Is anybody excited about that? I'm very pumped about 2015. It's going to be a fantastic year. And I can say that not just speculatively, because the truth is that every year and really every day is what we make of it. And that's by God's design, because he was very intentional in making this world and in making us. And we are made in his image. And part of that is that we've been given the ability to choose and to decide. And so my prayer for you today is that you decide that this year is going to be a good year, and that it's going to be good regardless of what happens to you, even if there's difficulties that arise, that you know that it's going to be a good year. I want it to be a good year for you. Do you want it to be that for you as well? Good. I'm glad. I'm excited for the next 4 weeks as we start a series called My Story. And guess what prompted me to speak on stories is because that's kind of our life. Our life gets wrapped up in really a story. I look back on the people that influenced me that are no longer with me, with my grandfather who died when I was 16 but was very close. Vernon Schumacher. German was his first language. His father immigrated, and yet he fought in World War II with the 82nd Airborne as a glider pilot. I always wondered how that happened. He never told stories about it. I always wanted to hear them. But I look back on the stories of my grandparents, Oma, Opa, Granny, and as I remember back, I mean, I remember what their voice sounds like. They'll have to try really hard sometimes because it's been so long since my grandfather passed. I remember that every time my grandmother, Oma, came into the house, she would say, "Yoo-hoo!" And I remember that very clearly. Do y'all have these memories of the people that you loved and the life that they lived and how it impacted you? Does anybody else have those memories? I remember Granny, who was my mom's mom, a Battaglia, that was so full of life and so happy and an amazing cook and so excited when I ate all of her food. And it was always munch, munch, munch. It was eat and it was wonderful and I loved it. And our lives really just boil down to stories. And so my prayer for you today is that you recognize that God has a story for you. And the reality is that we can look back on our life and we can all tell stories, can't we? Our life tells a story. And I just pray that you can tell the stories that were good, that there was this problem and I overcame it. There was this goal that I set and I really achieved it, and we tell those stories. We tell the stories of the experiences that happened to us. My family spent Christmas and spent the holidays in Arizona. It was the first time we had been to see Lisa's family in Arizona, in Tucson, in way, way, way too long. It was awesome. But it was four kids, my wife and I, in a van for almost 3,500 miles. In the last 2 days, we got caught in that ice storm that really just devastated West Texas. We were stuck for 2.5 days in Odessa at a hotel that had minimal to no Wi-Fi and really no cell service. It was kind of tough, but it was memorable. And our lives are made up of stories. There's lots of stories that we like to look back on and we like to tell those stories. Does anybody have stories like that? That you go, I like to tell this story. Anybody? Come on, I can see you guys. Do you have stories that you like to tell? I'm not going to ask you to tell them right now, so just calm down. It's going to be all right. We all do. Do you have stories that you hear somebody in your family, they start up with the story and you're like, oh my goodness, here we go again. Yeah, it was a great story the first 100 times, but now we're on time 1,000. Y'all all have Uncle So-and-so who tells the goofy stories, right? But it marks our life. What is your story? I look back on my life and the stories that I get to tell. I remember very clearly standing in my room at 18 years old with a phone number in my hand. It was a phone number that I had gotten despite my tremendous fear in asking for it. So clearly, just remember staring at that phone number from the prettiest girl I'd ever seen and going, whew, whew, whew. Man, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. Picking up one of those really huge phones, the antennas that pulled out like this far. It was cordless, though, so we were kicking it with technology back then. And punching in that phone number and saying, hey, is this Lisa? I remember meeting a guy on college campus and him wondering what he was going to do with his life, and me telling him, surprising myself, telling him, listen, man, you need to seek God. Like, you really need to find out what he has for you, because I know it's something great if you just trust him. And the guy just totally blew me off. And then as he walked away, God spoke to me and said, you are mine. And in that moment, I knew that though I was on my way to med school, God called me out of it. It's the seemingly small decisions that make tremendous impact in our lives. What if I had been too chicken to call that number? What if I had looked at that and said, she's way out of my league. She was out of my league. She's way out of my league, and I just can't call her. I said, she's out of my league, but I want to get to that league. Picked up the phone and called Lisa, who's now my wife, mother of four of my children. The moment, it seemed like I really want to, but I don't know if I have the guts to do it. What would have happened if I would have failed to make that decision? The choices that we make are huge. They're massive. Two thoughts that I want to leave with you. Two thoughts. Here's thought number one. The decisions we made yesterday determine the stories we tell today. The decisions that we made yesterday, they're going to determine the stories that we tell today. The reality is that there are many stories we don't want to tell because they embarrass us because of the stupid decisions that we made. I know a lot of you. You have those stories. So do I. We don't like telling them, do we? Y'all are looking at me like, man, what are you talking about? Don't worry, I'm not going to call on you. But the reality is that there's lots of stories we don't want to tell because we look back and go, man, that was really stupid. Anybody here ever make a stupid decision? It's just for a poll in South Louisiana. How many of you, that stupid decision in some form or fashion was affected by alcohol? Just be honest. You lie, you fry. This section right here, y'all are the drinkers. Got it. I got to sit close so I can hear. The decisions we made yesterday, they determine the stories that we tell today. And the truth is that there's probably some stupid things that we've done that turned out really, really funny. The second thought that I want to leave with you is this. The decisions we make today, right now, they determine the stories we tell tomorrow. The decisions that you make determine the stories that you will tell tomorrow. And I just want to shoot something in the foot right now. Really, I want to shoot it in the heart and put it to death, because so often we think that the circumstances that surround us determine the stories that we're going to tell. But they don't. They affect the story, but we get to decide which way they affect us. Y'all following me here? Like, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and many times they're out of our control. Somebody did this to me. This happened in the economy. This driver did this. Like, those things affect us, but let me just tell you, you get to decide the story that comes out of that thing. That's how I can stand up here and say, man, 2015 is going to be a great year. It's going to be an awesome year. Because when we trust God and we say, Lord, I'm yours, we know that he'll take even the things that are on the surface really, really bad, and he'll turn them around. I had a phone call last night with one of our members, and really a friend here as well, a young man that was in a terrible accident now probably 6 weeks ago, he was electrocuted with 13,800 volts at 1,600 amps. That's a lot. If anybody knows anything about electricity, that should kill you. It almost did. He's been in the burn unit in Lafayette at Lourdes since the accident. They did save his arm, but he lost his hand. And by his own admission, his faith had been, up to that point, fairly rocky. His stories weren't all good. But something happened as he lost that hand. And God began to speak to him. He had a near-death experience in a terrible tragedy. And yet God was there. His name's Garrett Falk. Many of you know him, and many of you have been praying for him. But here's what's really unbelievable to people who don't believe that God is and has a plan for them. He's in better spirits, in a better state of mind, more at peace, and more joyful and happier than he's been in years. And he'll tell anyone who'll listen that. We have a picture of Garrett that we can put up. Isn't that awesome? We're going to pray for him. I hope he's watching right now. Father, we just pray for Garrett. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in his life. That, Lord, that you were turning a tragedy around. And, Father, that you were bringing wholeness and healing to him, even in the middle of tragedy and even in the middle of loss. And, Lord, I pray your blessing on him. And I thank you that the story of his life is being written by you, and it always works out for good. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Wow, pretty cool. You can change that. So the big question today is this. How do we live a story worth telling? How do we live a story worth telling? The Bible gives us, in my opinion, a very clear answer as to how we live a story worth telling. In the faith chapter, it's just dubbed that by people who've studied the Bible, they call it the faith chapter. It's Hebrews 12, and it opens with this. It says this in verse 1, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And look at this last part. It's so important. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." How do we live a story that's worth telling? We fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. How many have felt like you've had to be the one who writes your own faith? I mean, there's been many times I've felt that way. Like, I have to write my own faith. But here's the reality, that when we simply recognize God is, he is, and that Jesus is, and we focus on him, he takes care of the rest. That's why Moses at the burning bush, and even if you've never grown up in church, most people are familiar with this story because of the Prince of Egypt. Moses standing at the burning bush, and it's God speaking to him, and he's saying, "Who am I going to say? Like, you're telling me to go back to Egypt. Who am I going to say sent me?" What does God say? "I am." When we recognize he is, and we simply say, "Lord, you are, I surrender all to you," and we fix our eyes on him, he writes the story of our life. He's the one that perfects our faith, because as we focus on him and look to him and allow him to lead us, faith is built, because as we step out going, "Lord, I'm going to follow you, I'm believing you," at each step, he meets us, and here's what it builds: trust. What's the cornerstone of any relationship? Come on, y'all know it. What is it? Trust. If you don't trust someone, can you have a healthy relationship with them? No. Many people waver in their walk with God, and it's not God's fault. It's because he's saying, "Follow me. Look at me. Look at me." And like a father or a mother who with a toddler is saying, come, when they're just learning to walk, come on, you can do it. God's there for us saying, "Just follow me. Take that first step." and yet fear invades and we fail to follow in faith? How do we live a story that's worth telling? We fix our eyes on Jesus. And when we do that, the story of our life, regardless of the circumstances and the things that happen to us, the story of our life becomes awesome. My heart for you for the next 4 weeks, for us as a body, is that in the next 4 weeks that we decide a few things. Here's what we're going to do the next 4 weeks. Number one, it's this week. We're going to decide to start. We're going to decide to start. To start that one thing. That one thing that we know that God is calling us to start. And this I know, even though I may not know what that is for you, if you seek God and you say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it you want me to start right now? I promise you, He'll speak to you. It may not happen instantaneously, but as you knock, the Bible says, as you knock, He'll answer. Even if it takes a little bit of time, keep knocking. The next 4 weeks, we're going to decide to start. The next week, we're going to decide to stop. We're going to decide to stop. What is that one thing that God is saying, hey, this needs to stop? Maybe it's a mindset or an attitude or a thought about yourself or someone else. Maybe it's an area of unforgiveness. Maybe it's something that you're doing that nobody else knows, but you know it's not right. We're going to say, Lord, have your way, and we're going to decide to stop. I also want to encourage and challenge each of you. Starting next Sunday, I'm asking, you don't have to, I'm asking though, and challenging you to join together in 21 days of prayer and fasting. There's a fasting guide on our website. It's also on Facebook about what fasting is. It's simply denying your flesh something that it wants so that your spirit can grow stronger. And as we seek God next week saying, Lord, what is it you want me to stop? That we're also daily praying to Him, seeking Him, and then denying ourselves what we want. I know what it is for me. For me, it's certain beverages and foods. I'm going to be old school fasting. For some of you, it may be social media, or it may be television, or it may, I don't know, seek God. But next week, we're deciding to stop. The third week, we're going to decide to stay. To stay when it's easier to go. Have you ever been in a situation where it's easier to go, where it's easier to quit something, to get mad at God, or to get mad at church, or to get mad at people, and to walk away, but in those moments, we're saying, no, I'm deciding to stay. And the fourth week, we're going to decide to go when it's easier to stay. My goodness, there, just as Pastor Tom spoke last week, and by the way, wasn't that an amazing message? It really was. Just as Pastor Tom spoke last week, that we're called to go and to share the gift that God's given us. Sometimes it's easier to stay, but God's calling us to go. That's what we're going to do for the next 4 weeks. But today, I want to talk to you about deciding to start. To start a discipline. To start one thing that you know is from God. Habits determine who you are. Healthy habits bring life. What do bad habits bring? They really do. If you think negatively about yourself or others, you're going to be miserable. It's just a fact of life. If you have a bad habit, let's just say I ate a dozen donuts 3 times a day, would that be a good habit or a bad habit? Would that kill me? Maybe not directly, but pretty indirectly it might directly kill me quickly. There's lots of things that we do that if we do them, they can end up at a place of death. My charge to you today, start something that brings life. Last year, as I was looking back over the messages that I spoke last year, there was one message that really just spoke to me. It was in the series Stand on the life of Daniel and how Daniel was just this young man who was taken as a prisoner to a faraway land, and yet everything that he did, he was favored by God, by people, that he rose to the highest ranks of government, number two in a massive empire. And he did not get there through bribery or trickery. He got there because he was faithful. Other people were really upset with him. And in fact, they had a plot to destroy him. And this is what it says in Daniel chapter 6. Is the administrators, there were 120 of them, and the high officers, they began searching for a way to really blackmail and ultimately destroy Daniel. They said this: the other administrators and the high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. They recognized that he was faithful, not just in his work ethic, but in his God. And in verse 10, this is what we see. When Daniel learned that the law had been signed, they created a law to trap him, knowing that he would never neglect his relationship with God, and he would still pray to them, and they enacted a law that couldn't be overturned, that everybody was to pray to the king, knowing that Daniel would not. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. If you know the story, he was found guilty of breaking the law, and in accordance with the penalty ascribed to that law, was thrown into a pit with hungry lions, and yet God protected him. Why? Why are we reading about this man? Why did it make such an impact on me? And I know so many others that Facebooked and messaged me and told me. Here's why. Because Daniel made a simple decision. He chose to start something as a young man. And it was seek God three times a day. Regardless of what was going on, he was going to find somewhere to go. He was going to stop. He was going to kneel down. He was going to pray. And he did that consistently throughout his life, and it marked him in such a way that God took notice and favored him and blessed him, and other people took notice, and some of them that hated on him tried to kill him, but God was with him, and ultimately even those in the highest levels of government, the king himself, looked down with favor on Daniel because Daniel made a decision to start something. The decisions we make carry tremendous weight in the stories that we tell. My prayer is that you are able, as you look back, to tell some amazing stories of faith because you chose to follow God. I have three questions for you as we wrap up. Question number one: what does God want you to want? What does God want you to want? Put another way, what is the story that God wants you to be able to tell 5 years from now? If we could just magically and instantly snap, I could snap my fingers and we could all be 5 years in the future, what would the story be like? What story would you tell? You get to decide that. You may not be able to decide the particulars, but let me just tell you, like Garrett, who though he lost his arm and has been physically devastated and in tremendous pain, guess what he's done? He's decided that the story that's going to be told about his life is not one of devastation, loss, misery, and pain, but it's one of life. As I was talking with him last night, he was saying, man, there was a couple from Bell City that with New Year's that they just got in. It's been 3 days, so just they're on the ventilator, severely burned, and I got to pray with their family. We get to decide, what is the story that God wants you to be able to tell? And I just really believe that he puts that dream in our hearts of what it is. Maybe it's about your marriage. Maybe it's about your business. Maybe it's about your kids. Maybe it's about your extended family. What is the dream that you want to be able to look back in 5 years and say, I know that this is a story that God would want me to tell? Then what are you doing today? What are you choosing right now in this moment to make that a reality? We may not know the specifics, but we know this, that as we surrender to God and we say, Lord, here I am. Here's my heart. Here's my life. I'm making a choice today. I'm choosing to start with you, that he's in control of the future. Many people get bitter as they look back on their life because they remember somebody saying at some point, I thought you said God was in control of our future. He's only in control of our future to the degree that we allow him to be. He wants to take you to a tremendous and wonderful place. It may be difficult walking through that. Just ask Garrett. But this I know is you surrender to him and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Lord, I'm all around you. And I know that you're all around me. Here I am. Take me. My goodness. He has such tremendous plans for us. Even when life's curveballs kind of hit us in the head, trust him. What does God want you to want? What's the story he wants you to tell? The second thing. What do you need to start? What do you need to start? I know very clearly what God is asking me to start. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know exactly what it is. I'm not released to share that with anyone. It's really good, though. But it's one of those decisions that I know that God's called me to, that he's just told me, let the fruit speak for itself. What is it that God's calling you to start? I can't answer what that is for you. You have to seek God and ask him, Lord, what is it you're calling me to? And he has an interesting way of putting his finger on the areas that he wants control of. Maybe it's an eating disorder. Maybe it's a specific addiction. Maybe it's a relationship that's messed up. Maybe it's your finances that you've never given to him and they're a wreck because of it, or they're perfect because of you. But he's saying, I want that. What do you need to start? The last thing. What are you going to do? Because mentally you can say, I think I have a picture of that story that 5 years from now that God wants me to be able to tell about how my life was a wreck because my marriage was messed up, because my addiction was raging, because I hated myself, because I harbored unforgiveness towards others. Whatever it is, you may say, I think I have an idea of what story God wants me to tell 5 years from now. You may have a revelation of, like, even in this moment, you may have a revelation of what you need to start. Like, you know, some of you sitting here, you know, I need to start this. You can have the picture, the story that you know God wants you to tell. You can know that you know that you know, I need to start this. But the third question is the big one. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's why so many people start New Year's resolutions and they don't keep them, because they fail to do. But let me just remind you that we are, as Hebrews 12 says, to fix our eyes on Jesus and be in his presence. Christ be all around me. That poem was perfect, so fitting, because when we say, Lord, I am with you, he writes our story. He perfects our faith. And I'm reminded of a story, and it was really profound to me. The most evil king that Israel had ever had was named King Ahab. And he was surrounded by his enemies, and his enemy had come to him. The king had sent the king that was at his gates had sent a message to him and say, hey, and said, hey, I want your wives and your children. And he sent the message back. King Ahab said, okay. Then there was another message that came and said, oh, also I'm sending some people through your city, and everything that you deem valuable, we're taking all of that. And King Ahab kind of freaked out. And then a prophet showed up at his door. In 1 Kings 20, verse 13, this is what we see. It says, now behold, a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, and said, thus saith the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver them into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord. That's good news, isn't it? That's always God's news. I'll deliver you. Ahab said, by whom? So he said, thus says the Lord, by the young men of the rulers of the provinces. Then he said, who shall begin the battle? And the prophet answered Ahab, he's saying, hey, who's going to start this battle? I mean, we got a war. Who's starting it? And the prophet looks at him and says, you. We are responsible for taking the fight for our soul, for our lives, for our story. We're responsible for taking that fight to the enemy and saying, you will not rob me of what I know God wants my life to be. You will not rob me of what I know God wants my life to be. And my prayer is that today we decide, Lord, I'm starting with you. I'm starting with you. The enemy is at the gates of so many people's lives, and maybe it's yours. And God is saying, I will deliver you, but you're the one that starts that battle. I'll finish it for you. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you say, Pastor, that is me. I feel like just the enemy is at the gate of my life, that there's so many things that are hounding me and dogging me. I know that's me. Let me remind you, God says, I'll deliver you. And I've got people, it's that great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 12. It's those people all around that see. But you're the one that has to decide to start your walk with Him. To decide to step out in faith and trust God for the story He wants to write in your life. If you're here and you do feel like the enemy's been at the gates of your life, today, I want to pray for you. If you're here and you say, that's me, I know there's this one thing I need to start. I know it. I know it. God's speaking to me. I know what it is. I just want to pray for you. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. Raise them high. Thank you. Hands all over the place. Father, I just pray right now for those that raise their hands and they're saying, today, I'm deciding to start. I'm deciding to start in what you're calling me to. And so, Lord, I just pray just a blessing over them, that, Lord, that you remind them that you have already won the war, that, Lord, that this battle is nothing for you. And, Lord, may you give them just a glimpse of who you are. Lord, as they fix their eyes on you, Lord, may you remind them who you are and the future that you have for them. And if you're here, and you've never been one that's been a church person, you've never considered yourself strongly religious, but today God's placing something on you that you can just sense it, that God's at work in you. Today He's saying to you, start with me. And if you've never surrendered your life to Him, you've never done that, you've never said, God, I'm yours. Today He's speaking to you, start with me. Start with me. Come to me. The story that He has for your life is awesome. And like St. Patrick, who was raised a slave, he was set free. And God used that freedom for His kingdom. St. Patrick was responsible for tremendous revival in Ireland that shaped the landscape even till today. If you're here and you've never started with God, He wants to put a fire so great inside of you for life you can't imagine. And He'll do some really cool things with your life. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never surrendered my life to Christ, today's a wonderful day to start with Him. If that's you, nobody's looking around. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I know today He's calling me to start with Him. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we just come before You and we pray. Let's pray together. Let's say, Dear God, I give my life to You. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for taking my sin on the cross. I surrender all to You. I'm Yours. Y'all can look up here. Man, I'm so excited for the future. And if you prayed that prayer, if you raised your hand and said, I'm starting today with Jesus, don't walk out of here without praying with one of our prayer partners, or at the very least, filling out a connection card so that we can get resources to you. We won't weird you out in what we do, I promise, but we will encourage you and give you the opportunity to connect with people who can help you as you follow God. Let's stand together. Man, we had so many people say, I'm starting. So this is what I want us to do as we go out of here. I'm going to ask you a question. And if you mean it, I want you to answer. Like if it's positive for you, I want you to answer, I will. Are you going to start with God today? You say, I will. Come on, let's say it. Are you going to start with God? Are you going to start with God? Good. Prayer partners, you guys can come. 2015 is going to be a fantastic year. I know it. Not because I can see the future written out, but because I know who God is. And as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, allow Him to write the story of my life and perfect my faith regardless of what comes my way, it's going to be a great year. I hope that you're looking for updates on Facebook and our website of what's going on, because we're just going to be encouraging everyone here on starting this year following Jesus and keeping our eyes on Him. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, as we dismiss, prayer partners, you guys come. You come up as we dismiss. Father, thank You for this time this morning. Lord, I just pray a blessing on everyone here. Lord, I just pray that as we choose to follow You, to seek You, that, Lord, that You just give us a glimpse of what can be in the story You want to write in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. God bless you. If you need prayer, you come. Have a great week. Best is yet to come, guys. He whispers in my ear, tells me that I'm feeling